see here is that that first option, that's the Bhagavat option, that just by hearing, then you understand and come to the perfectional platform. Then the second one, we see the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti, that's your pancharatra. Then the third and fourth, where you act according to your conditioned nature and engage, you know, the results of your activities, either with attachment or without, that's the Vedic system, you know, Savarna Ashram. So basically, as you can see, it's one system of surrendering to Krishna. It's just a matter of what platform you're on, you know, to function. Where do you need to be brought from? So if the covering is not so much, then you can just by hearing you take it up, then that's there. Nice, you can function with the Bhagavad. If you find that, no, it's not coming, then we need regulation, right? Because you get over the material entanglement by regulation. That's why you see the lifestyle so regulated, you know, when you get up, when you go to sleep, when you eat, what you eat, how we dress, how we do the things, is to regulate. Then that regulation, that takes the mundane spontaneity out of it, right? Because by the spontaneity creates that newness, that freshness and all those things. So on the material platform, then that spontaneity, then we're creating a freshness and a newness seemingly. But the problem is it's just by whim, just by the mind. So where it will go there, what is the regulation? How do you decide what will be accomplished or not? What will be performed or not? What the result is you get or not? So it's just a whim of the mind that comes up. By this coming up like this, this whim, then the difficulty is then if something doesn't work, we just move to a new whim. So we never actually get the understanding that, well, actually, I've been going on this path of whimsically doing things for so long and I'm never satisfied, but there's always this idea, oh, we'll try this and then we'll be satisfied. Well, if you regulate the life, then it's more easy to see, or regulate whatever you're doing, then it's more easy to see it in context of what it actually is. Because if something's whimsical, then we get immediately attached and we get inspired and we make that endeavor. But if something's regulated, then we tend to look at it more from the point of how it fits in things, the schedule, the balance and everything. So then we're looking at, okay, I put in this much work, I get this much. And so then that's not very necessarily inspiring. But if you're whimsical, you think, yes, the whole world is there. I can get all this and I can get all that and all these different things. And it's just, I just have to make this endeavor and then it's going to be perfect. So we just remain in illusion. So the the whole Vedic system is how to regulate. So therefore we see Krishna's first recommendation within the field of regulation is the Pancharatra, because that's just focused on Krishna. The deity worship is just about Krishna. So deity worship is not separate from the Veda. It is all the Vedic rules and regulations and practices that are recommended that are directed towards Krishna. Either the directly worship of Krishna, or they're in support of worship of Krishna, like taking a bath or washing your feet. So then we see is that the life is regulated and it's focused on Krishna. So then that's going to be the best system. It's the same as the Bhagavat, only the Bhagavat is natural. It has that spontaneous nature because one isn't conditioned. The Bhagavat platform means functioning only on that platform. That's for those who are liberated. If you're conditioned, then the Pancharatric process is for you. It's the same thing, focused on Krishna, worshiping Krishna. But it has that regulation because we tend to not regulate. We tend to not be absorbed. Then extending from that as we need, if we find that there's more material interests or desires than are covered by the Pancharatric process, then that's where we have the Vedic system, where Varnashram comes in. That's why then Krishna's recommending Varnashram, Lord Chaitanya's recommending it, then all the Acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, you know, the scriptures. It's just, you know, Varnashram is the scene is the system for engaging the conditioned nature in the way of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. So now, as devotees, you're engaging the Varnashram system to please Krishna. Therefore, it's Daiva Varnashram. Otherwise, then, you know, the Asuras also use Varnashram because they find that it's the most, you know, gives the best results, the best. You're working with the material energy. Then the material energy follows Krishna's laws. So if you follow the laws, you get best results. You don't follow the laws, you won't get good results or any results. So Varnashram then is always addressing the results, meaning addressing Krishna's laws. Therefore, you get the best results. So even the, on the, you know, lower planetary systems, all the demons there, they all follow the Varnashram because they know it gives the best results. They don't follow it to please Krishna. Therefore, they're demons. You know, the devotees, like the demigods, they follow Varnashram. They have material desire, but they do it to please Krishna. So then the sadhakas also then follow it to engage in Krishna's service because it gives all the background, the occupation, it gives you your money, takes care of family needs and all this and friendship, community. And then we're able to focus on worshiping the deities. So our inherent lifestyle that we follow, then we see is the pancharatric lifestyle. So for us, the pancharatric is the structure of our lifestyle. And then the Vedic is there as the support. So the Bhagavad is the, you know, where we're directing our attention. The pancharatric is our position where we situate ourselves. And then the Vedic then brings up whatever we find in our own life. We consider that we wish there was something more there than the pancharatra is giving. So in Pancharatra, then there's five main sections of it. It's also called Pancharatra is Panchanga Puja, or Panchanga Archan, like this. It has five limbs. So the limbs are approaching the temple. Second, collecting paraphernalia. Third is then preparing for worship. In other words, sitting down, doing achmans like this. Then the fourth is performing the actual worship. And then the fifth is all the other devotional activities of the devotional process to be followed that aren't directly deity worship. So deity worship means it's complete when you perform the other four. Like we see Lord Chaitanya gave the five direct activities of devotional service. So we have association of devotees, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna, worshiping the deities, living in the Dham. So we see one of the four, and one of the five is deity worship. So the first four within deity worship of the limbs of deity worship are just on are what's connected with deity worship. The fifth one is the other four angas of bhakti. Does that make sense? So in other words, deity worship becomes complete when you associate with devotees, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, chant Hare Krishna, and live in the Dham. That makes it complete. So then we see is that the Pancharatra is the five main items, but the focus is not on the Bhagavat. I mean, the focus is on the Bhagavat, but the practical situation in which we perform those activities is within the Pancharatric. So like Haridas Thakur, the Goswamis, they're, you know, situated in just the associated devotees hearing and chanting like that. They also are doing deity worship. And they're also living in the Dham, but the focus is on the hearing and chanting. So for us, it's also on hearing and chanting, but the structure of it is the Pancharatra. Because for those on the Bhagavat platform, they don't require the structure because they'll always be hearing and chanting. They won't do something else. They're not going to be checking out what's on Netflix or something, right? So if you're checking out what's on Netflix, then you need the Pancharatric and the Vedic systems like that. Very straightforward. If you're satisfied just chanting the holy names and, you know, those kind of things, associated devotees, then that's the Bhagavat, because you can do it, whatever you can do on a regular, that's what it is the main. So we see that the Pancharatric, then that will be in the first section, then getting up in the morning, you know, when you get up, chanting the holy name, offering your obeisances to Guru and Krishna, than, you know, putting your bed away, you know, or fixing it, then taking, going to the bathroom, then, you know, using the toilet, cleaning yourself, brushing your teeth, taking a shower, you know, taking care of whatever it is, what other elements of grooming you need to take care of. Then there's the aspects that, you know, then dressing. So we have neck beads, we put T-lock, you know, there's the Brahmin thread. There's, then we're wearing our particular clothes that we're wearing for doing the deity worship and all that. There's chanting of the Gayatri Mantra, going to the temple, Mangal Arati. So all that is part of that program. So that's all approaching the temple. So approaching the temple means from time you get up through Mangal Arati. Then the second part, Upadana, second anga of the deity worship, is then collecting paraphernalia. So that means washing paraphernalia, cleaning paraphernalia, getting all your things that you use for artiks and bathing and that, the deities and the ingredients, you know, like your water or your milk or things, your offerings, you know, then fruit and other cooked items and these kind of things, the clothes, the ornaments, the scents, the sandalwood paste, incense, all these different things, collecting all those. And then the regulation, what's proper, what's not, all that's then covered. Third one, then, having put all that, you bring all that to the deity room, you arrange that all nicely, you know, so you can use it properly and keep everything pure. Then chanting, then Achman, worship of the guru, worship of Gauranga, purifying the paraphernalia, meditation upon Radha and Krishna. All that then brings you to the culmination of yoga. In other words, you connect that yourself with the Lord. Then the fourth part, then Ija, where then the 16 items are offered to Krishna during the puja there, and then all the preliminary, and I mean all the prayers and taking Charinamrita, circumambulating the deities, smelling the garlands, then Bhagavatam class, taking prasad, all these kind of elements then come in naturally after that as the fifth. So the fifth will include worshiping Tulsi, taking care of guests, worshiping Vaishnavs, chanting your japa, hearing Bhagavatam class, doing service to the Dham. So all that will come into the fifth. So we see is that our whole morning program up to prasad, then is all the deity worship takes care of that in the first four. And then the fifth one, then that'll include what we do the rest of the day. So in that way, it's a very complete program. So now in the Pancharatra, then after breakfast and the activities you do, then would be just further connected with the deities or that. So someone who's, let's say, in the temple, full-time devotee doing that, then all their activities are just connected with the temple. And so then what they're doing is services around the temple or going out preaching or different activities or managing, but it's all connected with the temple aspect. So they can do all these as parts of that. It still stays within the Pancharatra, though it'll have the social structure of the Varnashram, but it doesn't necessarily have to, delve very deeply into it, because it's basically you're just using the Brahminical aspect. And the ashrams, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, and then the brahminical occupation of the deity worship. And so between those five, then you can, those five aspects of varnashram then support the pancharatra with the purpose of that we're focusing on hearing and chanting about Krishna, the Bhagavad. Then we find if we're good with that, that's fine. But if we find that life in the temple isn't exactly because we don't drink tea, so then our cup of what? Our mug of smoothie or something or like that, I'm not sure, but whatever. So then we add in the Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra aspects of Varnashram, and then, because then we're looking at occupations other than, just that connected with the temple and the deity. So that then brings in the regulations there. If there's administration, then the focus has to be, it means the Brahminical, it has to be about worshiping. The occupation means that you're following the scriptures, practicing and teaching the scriptures, doing the deity worship, doing yajnas, and that's the occupation. And with the purpose, the focus, it's for Krishna. Then we have for the Kshatriyas then is protection of the people. So they will do that, all the administration and management and bureaucracies that go along with it. So that will all be done for the pleasure of Krishna. Vaishyas then is going to be economics, that they're going to do that through taking care of the land, the cows, and trade. And then, and of course, if anybody happens to be a banker in this conversation, you're also included. But otherwise, most aren't involved in banking, you know. So basically, cows, land, and trade. And so you're also then, and the profits of these are being used to, you know, for one's maintenance and that, and use in Krishna service. So the whole idea is it's all about serving Krishna. And then Shudra means one's working for these other three groups and getting a salary so that then one is able to maintain oneself, be secure, feel comfortable, so that one can be engaged in Krishna service. So we see the purpose of even in adding these other three, the Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, it's still for the purpose of simply to serve Krishna and please Krishna. There is no other purpose. It's just that your maintenance, you know, it means the Bhagavat, you're just depending upon Krishna, and whatever Krishna arranges, that's what you do. The Pancharatrik, then it'll be centered around the deities and regulated in that way. Then when you get into the Vedic, then it will be that you have an occupation that generates your funds. And then from that, you're able to maintain yourself so that you can be engaged in deity worship and the Pancharatrik process. So that's basically, you know, you could say the kind of structural relationship between Bhagavat, Pancharatrik, and Vedic. And so in that, we are initiated into all the three. So the Bhagavat means the chanting of the holy name. The Pancharatrik is the Gayatri, you know, mantras that we have. And the Brahma Gayatri, the first line of Gayatri, that's the Vedic mantra. That's the Vedic system. So we use all three, depending on your advancement. So in other words, this is a general kind of approach, but general as neophytes there would be a lot of the Varnashram aspects, and then Pancharatra, and then the Bhagavat. Well, then the Madhyama would be more on the Pancharatra, you know, the Varnashram be there, but it wouldn't be as much focus. And then the Bhagavat would be quite prominent. And for the Uttama, then it's the Bhagavat, and they may use the Pancharatric and the Vedic, you know, just as a lifestyle, since they do live in society and they do like that. So are there any questions so far up to this? You know.
No questions so far, Maharaj.
Okay. Okay, so now in this, then, it has to be understood that Bhagavat now is, yeah, in other words, if you have questions anywhere throughout, you just type them in and all that, and we'll address them. This isn't one of those who are going to talk for 1 hour and 55 minutes and the last 5 minutes ask for questions and then hopefully no one asks them. This is more of a dialogue. So then all speak. If there's questions, then we speak on those. Because it means Pancharatri can go in so many different aspects, but we want to see what's applicable to who's listening. Okay. So in this, the Bhagavat, then that is the focal point. It's about hearing and chanting about Krishna, because Bhagavat means it's focused on Bhagavan. So Krishna is the center. But here, if it's natural, it has that aspect of rati or attraction to Krishna, then it goes very nicely because we're attracted to Krishna. So we're always going to do things in connection to Krishna. We're not going to do something not connected to Krishna. It may not be as focused or intensely focused on Krishna as those on the platform of prema. But the point is it's focused on Krishna. And then by the association of those who are on that platform of prema, then we will naturally, step by step, come to the point of prema. And then we will be counted within the associates of the Lord. So then the Madhyama platform, or the Pancharatrik platform, means that we're doing everything centered around the deity. So it's the same as the Bhagavat, but it's just been formalized because we by nature don't have the experience that we would do anything connected to the deities. You know, for us, the deity is ourself or our children or our wife or husband or our job, our profession, our money, our position, our, you know, how you say, you know, whatever it is that, that is attracting us and inspiring us in the material world. We won't make Krishna the center. So the Pancharatra then very nicely arranges it so that you have to focus on Krishna. It's always about Krishna. You're going to Mangal Arti, it's about Krishna. Prasad, it's about Krishna. The Arti, it's about Krishna. Hearing Bhagavatam class, it's about Krishna. We're doing service at the temple, it's about Krishna. So, you know, getting up in the morning, it's about Krishna. Getting up, being clean and everything, presentable, you know, as Vaishnavas to Krishna. Then, you know, that's what we do. And so everything's done in connection with Krishna or Krishna's, you know, associates paraphernalia, you know, then worship of Tulsi, worship of the Vaishnavas, worship of the scriptures, a chanting of the holy names, worship of the Lord's place, the transcendental place. So everything's focused on Krishna directly. So, and that's where Bhagavat's direct, Pancharatra is direct with some support of indirect elements. But those indirect elements are for the purpose of supporting the direct. So we see is that they're very solid lifestyles. When Prabhupada came, he focused the most on the Bhagavad. Just the devotees were doing Harinam all day. They'd get up in the morning. They would chant. They would do some reading. They'd go out on Harinam, come back in the evening, take some prasad, you know, do some more reading, go to bed. That's what they did for the first some years. Then Prabhupada found out that they're not reading. So they don't know the philosophy. And so, yes, that means that it's nice that they're engaged in devotional service or dancing and all that. They're getting that faith. They're getting purified. But without the philosophy, they could be distracted. And so then it was found that when some devotees came up with some bogus philosophy and nobody except Sat Swarup could actually discuss, argue with them on the philosophy, because, you know, he did BBT work, and so he actually read the books, but no one else knew what to say. And so then Prabhupada thought, okay, we have to use a structured program, more structured program in which reading and all these things are going on. So then Prabhupada introduced the, you know, you could say the temple program that we have now. So therefore was Pancharatra. But still, the purpose was then during the day you went out on Harinam and book distribution. You did things in connection with the temple. But then Prabhupada, you saw that he mentioned that, I think in 75, he was mentioning about we need to introduce the Varnashram. Because devotees have, you know, kind of more interests, more desires, more things that they want to do beyond the deity worship that they're not fully absorbed there. You know, so there's all kinds of material kind of needs and desires. But, you know, the Vedic system will engage those according to Shastra. That's the point of the Vedic system. It's not that, yes, I'm engaged in Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, but I'm engaged in that according to scriptures, what they recommend, what they say to dress, how they say to eat, when they say to go to bed and to get up, how they say to interact with family members or elders or community, you know, or how to deal with your money or all these different things. So again, it's regulation, but it's regulation basically of indirect aspects, you know, of our material interest, our conditioning. Now, as Krishna says in the Gita, that you perform your duties and give the results to him, then it's devotional service, right? The whole idea is Hrishikena, Hrishikesha. You know, so the Hrishikena, you're taking the senses and engaging in Krishna's service. So Krishna is Hrishikesha. The senses belong to Krishna. We have our quota, so we have our senses. And however you want to use them, Krishna will, you know, yes, arrange as much as is, you know, your, according to your interest, according to what you deserve, then your senses can be engaged. But the point is they don't actually belong to us. They're ours to use. Just like in the house, the children can use so many facilities within the house, but they don't belong to them. So they use them nicely, it goes good. And if they don't use them nicely, then there's restriction. So the senses then belong to Krishna. We're using them for Krishna. So you know, the engaging the family, engaging our money, engaging our occupation, our whatever it is, but connecting it to Krishna, then it works very, very nicely. And so the Vedic system becomes very, very, very nice support for the Pancharatrik and Bhagavat systems. This is sometimes misunderstood because in the conversation with Ramananda Rai, then Lord Chaitanya is telling him, okay, you tell me, you know, what's the perfection of life? And so then, Ramananda Rai starts off with, I think, quoting from Vishnu Puran about that you're engaging the, your occupations in the Lord's service. And Lord Chaitanya, he says that's external. So external meaning it's engaging your conditioning in Krishna's service, but it hasn't as of yet addressed the actual attitude of the soul, right? Then we're going to see, you know, without attachment will be the next one. Then be, you know, I mean, so that's, you know, you're just karma yoga. Then it's sakam karma yoga. Then he mentions then nishkam karma yoga, then renunciation. So instead of using karma yoga, you're using jnana yoga. Lord Chaitanya doesn't agree with any of these. Why? Because they're all external. They're just addressing the conditioned state of the living entity. Then when he says that surrendering to Krishna, then he says, okay, now we're talking something internal. Now can you take it further? So sometimes not sometimes, I'm being euphemistic here. Practically 99.9% of the time, devotees then interpret this to mean, oh, Lord Chaitanya rejected Varnashram, so therefore I as a Malechan Yavana don't have to change my cultural viewpoint on things. I can go on being a Malechan Yavana and everything's fabulous because we chant Hare Krishna and, you know, we're devotees, so we don't care for the rules. But actually, all you have to do is take out the word devotee and just say, I don't care for rules. I'm a Malechan Yavana. I don't respect authority. I never care for rules. I just do everything the way I want, the way centered, the way I want and all that. And so now that I've come across this in the Hare Krishna philosophy, I'm going to naturally gravitate towards that is because it matches my own philosophy. All I have to add into it is that now I have an excuse because I'm a devotee and I chant. You know, we chant. We don't care for the rules. Okay, so are we chanting all day? Haridas Thakur was chanting all day. He didn't care for the rules. Why? Because he was always chanting. You know, so he sat under a tree or sat here, sat in a cave with a python or, you know, whatever it was, you know, was beaten in 22 marketplaces and floated down the river. Yeah, you know, he was cool. He just always chanted. That's the position of we chant Hare Krishna. If you're doing that, then, you know, what I'm talking now in these pointing out of some weaknesses in a perspective is not for you. But if you're not doing that, then the point is then all day, all night we're chanting, or we just finished our rounds and then take our bead bag, tie it up, put it on the side, Hare Bol, finish. You know, and that then that's 22 hours that you're not chanting. So now what's regulating that? So if it's not the Pancharatra, because obviously it's not the Bhagavad, if it's not the Pancharatra and it's not the Vedic, it's just going to be our mind. And so therefore, yes, we'll regulate our life. You know, at this time you sit down and have your coffee and donuts. And at this time, then, you know, you watch this particular program that you wanted to watch. And at this time, then you go for a walk with the family or this or that, or, you know, whatever it is that you do. And so, you know, this time you go to the gym, this time you go to the club, you know, whatever. So the whole point is then what's to regulate ourselves to bring us closer to Krishna? Because these other regulations, they may make someone more cultured. They may make someone bring someone more like a gentleman, but we don't see that they're becoming devotees. Otherwise, it would be that everybody who has any regulation in their life, they would have all joined by now. But they don't. Because it's not connected to Krishna. It's not automatic. So that's the point with indirect. If you connect it to Krishna, it's connected. If you don't connect it to Krishna, for us, it's not. It's simple. It's like you have a toaster. You plug it in, it's connected. You don't plug it in, it's not connected. I cannot plug it in. Oh, but we chant, we don't care for the rules, so we don't have to plug it in. But, you know, I'd really like some toast and because I want, so then that's the driving force. That's the central thing. And, you know, I'm getting hungry. And if the toaster doesn't work, then I'm the victim. And so therefore the toaster should make toast for me. So I'm not the victim, you know, and all this kind of jazz. And then we find that we're frustrated. And then we're going to, you know, because we're dual, we're going to blame Krishna. Why isn't he taking care? Why isn't the toast toasting? You know, doesn't Krishna care? Why is it like this? The karmis, their toast is toasting. Why isn't mine toasting? You know, cause you're not following the rule. Plug in the toaster. So the whole point is devotional indirect activities like family, money, house, car, your clothes. These, if you connect them to Krishna, they're connected. If you don't, they're not. So that's why the Vedic system then is a platform that we function from, but its only purpose is connecting to Krishna. So we see the Pancharatrik is a more solid position because everything's connected to Krishna, even the indirect. And then the Bhagavat is just about direct connection to Krishna. So then it's the strongest. So that's our goal. So we have to see is that yes, it's not the goal. Varnashram's not the goal of life. It's not even a major aspect of life. It's just that's what we do. Just like one goes to work in the morning and sits there for 8 hours and then comes back in the evening. You know, it's not that it's your life and everything. Yes, okay, if you're a middle management in the corporate world, it is your life. But, you know, some would say you need to get a life, but whatever it is. But the point is that it's just something you do. You know, it's just like you use the toilet, you flush. You don't have to have a philosophy about we flush or don't flush and this and that. And are you a flush body or you're a flush body, you know, and that. Well, we're in between, you know, we flush occasionally, you know, like this. You don't need to make a philosophy. It's just something that's done. That's all. So the Varnashram is there as a background just to fill in to make all the social things work and everything work nicely. But connecting it to Krishna, then it becomes, you get the devotional benefit. You don't connect it to Krishna, you'll get piety for following it, but not devotional benefit. And if you don't follow it, then you get no devotional benefit and no piety. So then you just contaminate the heart and entangle oneself more in material energy, right? The piety is contaminated, let alone impiety. Okay. Any questions more? No?
I had one on just this point, Maharaj, that it seems like you're saying that Varnashram and things are providing the structure. So when we live, you know, those who kind of live in the temple have that structure kind of already done for them. But when living outside, it's not there. So is that a matter of taking these principles and then making our structure according to those principles so that we have that even no matter where we're living?
Means ourselves taking yeah. responsibility. Yeah, because that's the whole point in the Pancharatrik. Then the system itself, you still have to commit to it. But as you said, it's easier because the structure is more directly connected. Varnashram, it's wider because what is the range? Just like in the temple, everyone goes to Mangal Arati, right? So it's not that we have 30 different Mangal Artiks and then you choose which one you want to go to, you know, like that. So you have one Mangal Artik. It's very straightforward. But now let us say you have a community of devotees. Every devotee may have a different job, a different schedule, a different this, a different that, you know, like, you know, they're married, not married, you know, they're, you know, they have kids, no kids, or, you know, what's that? Dinks. You know, what do you call it? Dinks. D-I-N-K. Okay. Yeah, it means, what is it?
Like where you live.
Oh, double income, no kids.
Oh.
That's the new middle class kind of scene, is that you can get the maximum money with the least amount of expenditure. You know, greatest, you know, amount of sense gratification. And so that's becoming very popular. Like that. You use that acronym?
No, I've heard of digs as being like the place you live, like.
Oh, digs. Yeah. That's where you live. Your digs or your crib or, you know, your, whatever it is. So where were we going with this?
We're talking about.
Yes, about that. So when that's the whole point. The Vedic because it's everyone so unique, you there has to be some element of self-regulation. Mm-hmm. Right? And so then that's going to be because of, you know, devotional service and association. So still within the Varnashram, association is very, very important. Because without that, it's not going to work. So you still have to have association. So that's why we're not using just purely a Vedic system, because who's going to be able to follow that? And who would want to? There's no need in this age. The Pancharatrik works very nicely for us. Then we add into it how much of the Vedic we need to follow. Right. And so then that will regulate and that'll make it successful. How you deal it, just like this. Let us just say, we'll take the rare example, you know, the rare, situation where someone has a job, right? You know, like that, you know, they're not running the government or they're not, you know, doing something, running their own business or like that. So then the point is people want to do, you know, okay at their job so that they, one, don't lose their job and they possibly even, you know, maybe, you know, move up in the company or something. So then Bhagavatam in the discussions of Narad Muni with Yudhishthira Maharaj, so he explains about the position of four aspects of being of, in other words, dealing nicely with the boss, dealing nicely with anybody connected with the boss, dealing nicely, you know, knowing, you know, how you say what the purpose of the company is and having that attitude of that company. And if you have that, then your job will go nicely. Because most people couldn't care less as long as they're getting paid and they don't deal nicely with anyone, don't deal nicely with the boss, this, that, blah. And so, yeah, as long as you're needed, then they put up with you. But let's say it comes time for, you know, they have to have, you know, some variety of turn down or something like that. Then you're going to be on the list to go. You know, so that's the whole thing is that it's even telling you what's the attitude to be successful at working at a job. Mm. You know, so the Vedas give all the information on how to deal, how dealing between husband and wife, the parents and the children, you know, then with elders and with teachers, or with administrators, business people, people with money, people, you know, without, and all these things that it explains what is the structure, because we wouldn't necessarily know, right? Because you see in the animal kingdom, eating, sleeping, mating, defending is common. It's standard. Mm-hmm. But now, human social structure, who knows that? You know, humans get up in the Brahma Muhurta. That's just when humans get up. That means they have to go to a bed at a time they can get up at that time. So then you have to have your life regulated and that you do that. You know, if you've been living a regulated life your whole life, then yeah, you could go to bed at, you know, 10 o'clock at night, no problem, and get up. Like that. You see that in India, you know, so many, they go to bed 10, 11, they get up in the morning, no problem. And you see anyway, kids anyway generally wake up at that time when they're really small. They just tend to wake up at that time. Then later, but you know, by association, they learn to sleep in. But otherwise, the natural thing is as soon as, you know, like when the birds wake up, that's when you wake up. You know. So you have to learn what is human. So if the Vedic system doesn't tell you what's human, then you wouldn't know. So much of the time when devotees don't appreciate the particular rules and regulations of the Vedic system, it's because it's suggesting human life and their background's not human. Mm. And so for them, oh, it's unnatural. You know, like nowadays they say, oh, we're Westerners. We don't follow. Just say we're Malechas and Yamada. Why try to make it, they try to make it as being Westerner, being first world country. Is that because if it's supposed to be, oh, we're the, you know, we're following just the natural, what everyone's doing. But the first world is actually the smallest volume of people on the planet. Right. And they're trying to say that they're the universal place. But that's the same thing that the conquistadors said. That's the same thing that, you know, the whites have said about every other culture in the world. That's what Christians say about, you know, them and everybody. So how is that? how is that suddenly now Krishna conscious? Oh, because we're devotees. Now I'm saying, no, it's your same xenophobia, your same bigotry, your same laziness, your same lack of, respect of authority. We're just trying to now get, rationalize it with Krishna consciousness. Because it's not like we're following some rule. Because it says, yes, always remember, never forget. That's the rule. But are we doing that? And so if we're always remembering Krishna, never forgetting, then, okay, we're not following all the rules of Pancharatra, deity worship, who cares? But you see, much of the time, the people that make the strongest point about, oh, we don't have to do, I mean, there's two groups. One group is generally these hardcore brahmachari sannyasis that, live a very simple, austere, regulated life and that, and they make these comments and you can't say no because they're doing it. Others may not be able to do it, but they're doing it, so they have a right to say it and you can't complain. But much other time it is those who happen independent, don't want to follow anyone, want to do their own thing and all that. At the same time, is complain about everybody else in the culture, how this one does this, that one does this, this one's in charge, that one's in, they don't want to accept any authority. But they're happy themselves much of the time to be, in positions of authority. Just because they don't want anyone else in charge, not that they have the qualifications. So then we're dealing with all these underlying conditioning that is not human. So the Vedic system is there for humans. So that's why, and so coming from backgrounds that's not human, then how are we going to qualify for following human system? By the chanting of Hare Krishna. Because means basically, when it's lower, it's passions and ignorance is the prominent. But then by chanting, we develop, we're cultivating the pure goodness. So then goodness starts to come up within the nature becomes purified that we can start to function in goodness and follow the rules and regulations given in goodness. And so then we can follow Varnashram. So our qualification for Varnashram is only because we chant Hare Krishna. Same, our qualification for Pancharatra is only because we chant Hare Krishna. So if there was no chanting of Hare Krishna, basically, unless you were born in a smarta family, Brahmin family, where you are following these rules, you wouldn't be following. So that's the point, is that we, by chanting Hare Krishna, then we can take advantage of the support of the Pancharatric and Vedic. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a chance to do these. It's only by chanting. So, by Krishna's grace, by Guru's grace, then we're able to follow this. And then this little touch of these things in our life, and then it makes chanting so much easier, makes our path back to Godhead so much more steady. So it becomes very nice. But we have to be able to accept that, because it's not just, we don't accept the Vedic, but they don't accept anything except their own philosophy. So we have to be very, very careful, is that, these things that, then we're saying, oh, we're Western, we don't follow it, but that's an upadhi. And since when has an external upadhi had anything to do? We'll say both, we're not this body, and then use that to not follow Varnashram. And then at the same time is say we're Westerners, and so we have to follow a Western lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So that's not following the path of piety. That's following the path of impiety. So we're just trying to get rid of authority. And so therefore my mind and whatever I feel like, that's authority. So very, very weak position. But popular. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, just because it's popular doesn't make it right. Prabhupada said a million fools can say what's wrong is right, but it doesn't change the facts.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So, in other words, in practical, what it means is that each individual then looks at it, what is their particular conditioning? What do I need to do to engage it, nicely, in Krishna's service, or at least regulate it so that I can start to see it in a more, philosophical approach or more goodness approach. And so each individual has to see, and it changes as you go, right? It means what's important for you today, maybe after some time is not so important. Mm. you know, like going out and buying fancy cars and going out and driving around fast may be important, but after time, it doesn't become important anymore. You know, there may be the thing you appreciate, a nicely made car, and so you'll buy a car that's proper because it'll last and not fall apart. It's not a piece of junk, but that's, you're just using in Krishna's service. So now you've got a nice car to drive for Krishna. So just get purified. Does that make sense?
Yes. You know,
so like that, you just start to see what is there. And then you see, what are my values? So Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, first point he makes is everything is him, mm-hmm. right? In the Chatur Shloki. So there's nothing that's not Krishna. So this idea is that, well, there's the Western culture, then there's India. No, everything's Krishna. So even the modes of nature that make up the Western culture, those modes are coming from Krishna. It's just a particular flavor that's there, because we say modern or Western, but what they follow now is not what they did before and will not be what they do in the future. Mm. You know, it means it's just moving around, and the modes are adjusting to give people the different flavors, because you have 8,400,000 species of life, right? And so from that, then you have to get all these flavors are available at different times, more prominent, you know, beasts are more prominent, or reptiles are more prominent, or aquatics are more prominent, or birds, or whatever it is. Then, you know, it keeps moving around and giving the various tastes. So so everything is Krishna. There's nothing that's not Krishna. So because it's his energies, right? Means Krishna. So then the second point Krishna makes is whatever you take of value in your life, if you don't see it connected to Krishna, then it's illusion. So that's the whole point that comes up, is that how to figure out what to engage. Mm-hmm. Because you can say, so why? But is it, what are your values? You only have to engage your values mm-hmm. in the Varnashram. Because otherwise, we already have the Pancharatrika and the Bhagavat for taking care of the directly spiritual activities. So these indirect, which ones are important? So if money is important, that you have to engage that. Family is important, you have to engage that. Society is important, that's what you have to engage. You know, or it's clothes, that's engaged. Or food, that's engaged. You know, or furnishings, so that's what's engaged. So it's whatever is the elements that are there. So that's why Grihastha life has that widest range of what you can engage in Krishna service. You know, Brahmachari, Vanaprastha, it's small. It's not very wide. But the Grihastha has the opportunity that a huge range of values can be engaged. And so that's where you start. But then Krishna in the third verse says that even though I am all this, through his energies, he as a person is still separate from this. So just because I'm engaging these things regulated way and that, it has to be that you're doing it to please Krishna as a person. That's what you want to get to. So in the beginning, I regulate it so I get purified so that I can start to see it connected to Krishna. And then the fourth one, Krishna says, at all times, all places, all circumstances, directly or indirectly, you should always be attempting to see everything connected to him. So directly will be these Bhagavat principles and Pancharatrika, and then the indirect will be the Veda. So at all time, place, circumstances, that means everywhere you can always be Krishna conscious. So there's not a situation you can't be Krishna conscious of. Because they'll say, oh yeah, if I'm in the temple and all that, but then when you go to work, then it's not that. But still, it still works on the same principle. Economics works on Krishna's principles. Mm. If you look in history, did somebody invent economics? A person or a culture? No. Did someone invent food? No. What about clothes? No. What about the concept of family? No. Or community or nation? You know what I'm saying? They may come across certain things. You know, they may have bumped into a wheel. But, you know, they've always had wheels. You know, so these kind of things that are of great value in life, those come from Krishna. They don't, and then we say, oh, the modern society, but that's just particular kind of food, but still food is connected to Krishna. Your food, you have to see in context of Krishna. Your clothes, concept, your family, the community, your economics, your occupations, all that in connection with Krishna. Mm-hmm. then that's it. So then self-regulating. You know, the scriptures are there, senior devotees are there. But the point is, isn't one of, for many people, isn't the, one of the draws of family life is independence. But if you're in the temple, then you got to listen to the temple commander, or the temple president, you have to follow their schedule. It's, nothing's really yours, while grihastha life, then that has that independence. So the point is then, you using that independence now have to connect that independence to Krishna. So that's also then part of the service is you voluntarily connecting these things to Krishna. Right? And then, of course, those who appreciate and understand, then they'll have training in this, and then devotees can learn so they know the various aspects how to connect it all to Krishna. Does that make sense? So in the same way as then the Pancharatra, it's a little bit easier. We know we're getting up in the morning and getting dressed, putting our tilak and all that kind of stuff, chanting our Gayatris, chanting our japa. Then we have the facility in our home. We can worship Tulsi, or we have our little altar. So you might do an artik. Then anything you cook, then you'll offer to Krishna. So it becomes a little bit more direct. And then the Bhagavat, then at all times, all places, all circumstances, you're trying to, I say, hear, chant, and remember the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna. So we see is that the Bhagavat's very simple. The Pancharatrik also is simple, but it has a little few more elements, the mechanical elements. It's the Vedic then has the widest range of things, but that's because people have those desires. So then if we appreciate that, then they can, engage so nicely everything in Krishna's service. But it takes maturity. It takes purity, it takes thoughtfulness, it takes faith, these kind of things. Because it's just so easy to just say, oh, we chant, we don't care for the rules, right? And then if you do something they don't like, you'll say, oh, you can't do that. It's like, how many rules do they have to follow to get their driver's license?
Many.
Yeah, and I don't know about different places. I know in Australia, the average is 3 times you have to go in for the test. Most people fail 2 times. Only on the third do they get it right. And it's just taken as normal.
Yeah.
You don't get any black marks for failing because they know everybody fails. And 3 is average. So there are some people who do it in 2 or 1, very rare, and some people take 4 or 5, but it's just, like that. So I don't know about other countries. America, you're supposed to be able to go down and pass it the first time. I don't know, at least when I was a kid, but I don't know about now. But so there's so many rules. Everything is rules. Your whole life is rules. But then it's just that, but oh no, we chant, we don't care for the rules. Try that at work. Try that driving on the highway. No, they'll follow everything very strictly. But then when it comes to the Vedic system and Krishna, then now we become Paramahamsas. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So be responsible. Get it together. Figure out what your position is connected to Krishna. Otherwise, then if you're chanting and you're taking prasad, you're associating with devotees, you will advance. You don't have to worry. But you can speed up the process. Mm-hmm.
Can it also be that our preconceptions are what's stopping us from connecting things to Krishna? Like when we think of material life is different to, it's because we have preconceived ideas.
Yes. It's fine. I mean, everyone's eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So the Vedic rules deal with that and regulate that. Because as we mentioned, if you don't regulate, how will you advance? Hmm. So you have to regulate something so that it comes in line, so it gets into its proper balance with things. Otherwise, we put it outside of the importance. Like you see little children, then eating is all that they do. Eating and playing. So they have no regulation, nothing. They just, anytime they're hungry, they eat. Anytime they're tired, they sleep, this and that. And so they do that just out of whim. And so what do we call them? We call them babies or children or infants. So then if an adult is saying that that's what we'll do as a philosophy, as a culture, as an actual social position, then why we wouldn't say that they're children? Mm. You know, I mean, and we're being nice by saying children. Technically, we should say babies. Mm-hmm. Or infants, you know, of course they'll get really bent out of shape if you say that. So that's the whole point, is that they want their cake and to eat it.
Yeah.
They want to say, I'm adult, I can do anything I want and all that. But that's what babies say. I'm the baby is the center of the house. So here it is. They want to do, means the baby is the center of the house and they get to do whatever they want. And as they grow, but they don't have a philosophy. Then as they grow up, they make that into their philosophy, but they're completely controlled by other members of the family, the society, their job, and everything. And so they can't actually do that. So they have a philosophy of being a baby, and they're actually bad at it. So isn't that more embarrassing? At least the baby is a good baby. You know, the baby is doing his babiness really well. Mm-hmm. And this adult is claiming to be adult, but at the same time having the philosophy of a baby, and then doing a bad job of it. You know, they're being regulated by all these things, but they're not accepting, so they don't deal properly with these regulations, so they don't even get good results that adults should get.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just like, it's just sad from all sides. And then at the same time is that there's so much bravado of, you know, we're Westerners, we're this, we're that, we're somebody. So what? Mm. Who cares? You know, do Mexicans sit around? We're Mexican, you know. Canadian, we're Canadians. No, we're Americans. That way you care.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, like that. Just get on with life. Okay, you're American. Now what are you going to do about it? You know, you're going to go out and, you know, open up a new frontier, you know, or do something like that. If not, then why say you're American? Mm. Hey, someone's asking a question. The picture has changed. Is someone asking a question?
Yeah, Markandeya Prabhu. Yeah, I think
it says at the bottom of this page, it says Soumya Radhika.
I think Gaur Gadadhar Prabhu wanted to ask a question. It seems Markandeya Prabhu's mic may not be working so well. Gaur Gadadhar Prabhu? No?
Do you hear me?
Yes, Prabhu.
I'm asking Maharaj Hare Krishna if you can comment on the Prabhupada's purports in the Bhagavatam, the second canto, third chapter, verse 22, where he recommends deity worship for householder devotees especially, and he's mentioning the different parts of the ceremonies which the devotees should do at home. But from his purport, it looks that this focus and this purport is just on the Pancharatra aspect of the system. It takes so much time. We all see today that even many temples are struggling with keeping the deity worship standards. So my question is, what about those devotees for whom the focus is on other aspects of the system, as you explained, Varnashram or something else? Does it mean simply that at Prabhupada is mentioned in the purport, we should just visit in the temple when the deity worship is going on, or there is something else also you can say about it?
The whole point is as we mentioned before, the Pancharatra regulates your life in connection with the Lord. So it's known as Ekayana. That's rules and regulations to focus your life on Krishna. So that's the whole point, is that brahmacharis, whether they're focused or not, what are they doing? Right? Whatever the temple tells them to do. So whether they're conscious or not, they're doing activities that are connected to the Lord. Right? So then the grihasthas then have to make that specific commitment to seeing that their activities are connected to the Lord. And so grihasthas eat, right? Unless they've worked out, you know, they're following the vrata of an orchid or something. So they just live off the air and that. So you'll be at more of an advantage because being farther south, then you get that nice Mediterranean air that's got, you know, it's more moisture, it's got more, you know, more minerals and things in it. And so then it's actually better, you know, all that. So they're eating. So then whatever they eat, why can't they offer it to Krishna? They're sleeping, so why can't, before they go to bed, offer all their activities that they did during today to Krishna, and when they wake up in the morning, offer obeisances to Guru and Krishna, and make a determination to today be engaged in his service. Right? You know. Mating is there, so why can't we follow Garbhadan, and with the idea that children will be brought up in Krishna consciousness? You know, and train them and expose them to Krishna consciousness, or defending then, you know, that we're going to be doing things and we're surrendered to Krishna and see things in the context of how Krishna's taking care. You know, so even just on that basic thing, why can't we do that? That's Pancharatra. You know, and you add into that, then we said there's a job. When do you do the job? And it's like you said, you have your, get up in the morning, there's your sadhana and some kind of a spiritual. Then during the day, you have your occupation. Then at night, again, you try to do spiritual things and family things, and then go to bed. So especially the grihasthas, it has to focus on that, because they're the ones that, you know, who's regulating their life. The brahmacharis is regulated for them. Does that make sense? So then grihasthas, you know, it's just a matter of they voluntarily see that, yes, we need to engage in these activities connected to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So it's a simple thing. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a very simple manual if you're going to do deity worship at home. And so it's a simple process. You know, we can make it difficult. You can say it's struggling at the temples because no one wants to do any service at the temples. Everyone wants to be independent. You know, so that's the whole thing. We're happy to have a temple, but at the same time, no one wants to put in the effort. So that's why in a contemporary kind of environment, or especially a new place, you start off just as a center and just engaging people in devotional service. Then with time, if the community itself wants a temple, you build a temple. Chopati is an example of that. They started off as just somebody's house from which they did preaching from. And eventually then they had such a big community that the community then got together and got a place that they could regularly meet, you know, to use as a temple. But they hadn't built a temple until later. It was only like after 20 years or 30 years then they actually built a temple. You know, now you go, it's all, you know, all that sandstone and all, you know, all fancy. We don't start that way. You start with a place where people can come together and associate. Right? If you already have a temple, then you try to keep it going. You know, but by the preaching and all that and good example, then these things go on. But it's a matter, do we talk about these things? Or is nowadays the main talk, you know, the talk that everybody talks about is all about management. You know, that's the buzzword. Senior men talk about management. Anybody's talking about Pancharatra or sadhana or Vaishnava etiquette or these things. It's not the discussion. So we have to see is that, it's a matter of where we put our priorities. So if it's on that, we understand the importance of it, then everybody wants to be involved with it. But, you know, it's like if you have a community where there's 200, 300, 500 people in the community, then why shouldn't we be able to maintain the deity worship? You know, because it doesn't take that many people to worship the deity. You know, but because we don't put any emphasis on it. So the emphasis is on who's in control of the men, who's in control of the money. And so therefore then, the grihasta, he has his money and he's in control of his family. So, hey, Ari Ball, what do we need to come for? So it's just a matter of it being aware, because before they did it, Los Angeles had 500 devotees there and they took, you know, grihastas, and they took care of their deity worship. It's just a matter of values. You know, because it's not like it's getting any better. It's not like, oh no, everybody just does their own thing and their lifestyle is better. Their experience is better. The quality of their relationships or the quality of their Yeah, just marriages are going better. It's not even that the quality of their food's any better. You know, so then what benefit are we getting? Does that make sense? So if they can attend the temple in that, they're close enough, then they'll take part in the worship there. And if they're not, then they have their own kind of scene at home and do what they can. So that means you basically, whatever you cook, you offer the deities. You try to, as Bob mentions, you do an artik for the deities. You know, family comes together, does kirtan. Like that, you get up in the morning, take a bath, put on your tilak, chant your mantras, chant your japa. So, you know, you're engaged. So it's not a difficult thing. We make it difficult. You know, because that's the thing. The Vedic system is very simple and straightforward. The modern is very complicated. It means they claim that complication is sophistication, but that there's a difference. Sophistication is how refined it is. Complicated means how difficult it is. You know, it's just like, let's say we have an open drain and a closed drain, you know, one that's underground in a pipe. So the closed drain is complicated because the open drain is just there. Anything gets stuck, you just come along with a broom and push it down. It's done. But the pipe, if something gets stuck in there, then you have to have a manhole cover. You have to have this and that. You might have to dig the whole thing up. That's complicated. So they'll claim it's sophisticated because they haven't seen a sophisticated open drain. You know, you can have an open drain that's done very nicely. You know, it's just like, let's say, you know, some of the, where the river and that goes through many of the old cities in Europe, you know, that things weren't bombed or something. You know, then much of the time it's going through, it's very sophisticated. There are bridges, there are this and that, the decorations, all these things are nice. So you can have it as very simple or very sophisticated. But the Western kind of, perspective is that simple means unsophisticated. They can't recognize simple can be sophisticated. You know, it's just like, let's say, we have our, you know, on the house and then along the edge of the house, we might have some gutters and they might have some, you know, pipes to bring the water down to the ground. And they're made out of some kind of galvanized sheet and like that. And, you know, they don't look great, but they don't look stupid either, you know. But now let's say we go to some places, let's say I can, you know, like for example, in Oxford in England, some of those old buildings that go back, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years. Then, well, the water comes and then they have these special spouts that are all carved and everything like that. So that's simple because all it is a gargoyle that then sends the water off onto an empty place on the ground. There's no gutters. There's no pipes, or there might be gutters, but there's no pipes. It's really simple. So they don't get clogged so easy, nothing like this. And they look really fancy. People go there to see the gargoyle. That's sophisticated, but simple. That's simple living, but sophisticated. This idea that simple living means, you know, we're sitting out on a farm wearing overalls covered from head to foot with cow dung. But that's the Monty Python, definition. You know, and the guy who's not covered with cow dung, he must be the king. So, the problem is there's a bias. There's this bias of superiority, even though it's not necessarily superior. You know, it's just like the medical systems in the Orient, Middle East and Orient and most other places in the world were far more advanced than Western medicine. Have always been. Still are. But, you know, what first world will agree to that? There's always this thing is that because we're the most materialistic, we're the best. We don't consider any of the subtle metaphysical aspects, and that makes us the best. You know? So that's the difficulty. We don't you know, we follow the, you know, rationalism. So, or what's that? Yeah, relativism, rationalism, reductionism. We just reduce everything down to the just facts and figures and the chemical, you know, interactions. And then that makes us more superior, and we don't notice the mind, you know, personality, you know, these kind of elements as why things are happening. We just consider, no, it has to be all just chemicals. And so then it becomes a problem, and then we claim that's superior. That's the lowest level of consciousness, and then we're trying to claim it's higher. You know, that's it. You know, some of these, you know, especially third world, fifth world countries, they have stronger family values. So if you tell them that, okay, I got a job for you, but you know, you're never going to be able to be with your family, you know, like that, and all important times, like all your main festivals and all these, you'll never be able to be there, but you know, we're going to pay you nicely. They won't take it because family's more important. And then what'll happen? The first world will see, they're backwards and all that. You know, they think these are more, they could get money, and why aren't they taking it? So that's the difficulty. We have to be very, very careful that our first world, or, you know, just modern kind of viewpoint perspective doesn't actually trip us up on the path of bhakti. That we understand we're doing this anyway. Why? Means, let us say, what would we say? What's a high class? Now let's say we have a high class house and just something very ordinary. So now one of the houses is super clean. Right? Has just the right amount of furniture. Everything's in its place. Everything's clean and tidy. And another, it has either too much furniture or not enough. It's all over the place. There's, you know, leftover pizza boxes sitting here in the corner and this and that and sock here and sock there. Which one of them is high class and which one is pretty ordinary? Right? The clean one or the messy one? Which is high class? Which would be sophisticated? Which would we consider higher culture? So that's the thing is, and cleanliness is very important in deity worship. So therefore, you know, Brahmacharya has the least amount of things to keep clean, though, you know, he may struggle with it. Grihastha has a huge amount of stuff to keep clean. The point is they have to follow that. If it's not clean, then the mind becomes disturbed. Mind comes disturbed, then how is the mode of goodness going to function? Right? So then it makes it even harder for us to get the pure goodness. So that's the point, is that cleanliness is there. It's part of it. And on time, things aren't done on time. You rock up at work whenever you like. You leave whenever you like. You come home whenever you like. You know, breakfast is anytime you like. Dinner is anytime you like. It's every day is different. It does not matter. Is that how family life works? No, breakfast is this time because then you got to go to work. The kids got to go to school. This one has to this. You have to be back at this time, this and that. The kids got to go better here. They got to get up in here. So regulation is there. So that's all part of Pancharatra. So why not be clean and be regulated according to Pancharatra instead of according to our own conditioned whims? That's your choice. You're going to be regulated anyway. It's just a matter, do you want to be regulated by choice? By free choice connected with Krishna, or by the modes of material nature, which we call free choice. Yes, no? Does that work? Because the point is that the Acharya said it, so then, okay, then we have to see how can I apply this in my life? Not, the Acharya said it, but, you know, this is the modern age, and, you know, we have to decide whether this is applicable in Kali Yuga or not, because we are the authorities of Kali Yuga. But how are we authorities of Kali Yuga? Either we're an Acharya, which obviously we're not necessarily, or we're working for Kali Raj. Right? If we're the ones deciding whether it should be followed or not, what the Acharyas have said, the Acharyas won't do that. So that leaves one other option. We're working for Kali. He wants to break down Varnashram. He wants to break down Pancharatra. He wants to break down the Bhagavad. He wants to break down the family structure and the whole thing like that. Because the more you break it down, the more Kali Yuga you get. Look at it at the end of Kali Yuga. You know? People don't follow anything. You know, they eat each other if they can. So, you know, that's the option. Does that make sense? So a lot of times he says, oh, we can't do that. I mean, why? Why can't you be cleaning your house for Krishna? Why is it you're only cleaning your house because it's too disgusting that you can't tolerate it anymore? You know, and the husband, there's a good chance he'd never clean it. So then, you know, how is that the, you know, oh, we can't do this. Oh, we're cooking. Oh, you can't offer it to Krishna. Does that make sense? Point is the whole idea is that if there's any regulation, then there's the idea I won't enjoy. Because I'll enjoy if I'm setting the standards, but if someone else setting the standards, how will I enjoy? But the point is since everything's Krishna, if we bring it in line with Krishna, the senses belong to Krishna, then he doesn't have a problem. We have senses and we use it connectedly. So why wouldn't we enjoy? He's happy. Why wouldn't we be happy? Krishna, who is Ananda, if we bring our senses in line with Krishna, who's Ananda, why wouldn't we then taste Ananda? Does that make sense? Yeah? Does that work, or? Because I'm going by just how much detail you gave. If you want more specific than that, you have to actually bring out specific points from the purport. Okay, we're good.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like the point it said that the which is giving different perspective, Pancharatna, not just deity worship, but regulation. It's very, very valid point, I would say, because very often devotees have just misconception, Pancharatna, or just deity worship, and but you said the main point in Pancharatna actually is regulation, because we cannot.
Yeah, the whole Vedic is regulation.
Yeah. But because
there's a misconception because there's no training. It means we might have a training on, let's say, strategic planning, but is there any training? Like, I don't know if you remember before, but like in the 80s, 90s, you know, Bhakti Sharmas would do courses on Vaishnava etiquette. Others would be doing on different Shastric books and all this. Nowadays, you have to have some far out thing, you know, it's like it's, you know, how to pick your nose and, you know, in 2020. You know, then people will come. So, you know, the point is that the whole purpose is to regulate, because if you regulate, then you can purify. If you purify, then you can elevate your consciousness. You elevate your consciousness, then you become Krishna conscious. So the point is Pancharatra, as we mentioned, has five limbs. So most people think of one limb only, and that's Pancharatra. What about the other four? The whole thing of getting up in the morning and taking a bath, putting tilak, all that, but that's all Pancharatra. You know, the standards in the kitchen and how we do and keep everything clean and that's all Pancharatra. You know, worshiping Tulsi, taking care of guests, Vaishnavs, chanting our japa, reading scripture, you know, taking care of Tulsi. All these things, these are all Pancharatra, but they regulate it. See, the Bhagavad, like Haridas Thakur just sits down in front of Tulsi and chants all day. But for us, then Pancharatra regulates that at this time, then you do a Tulsi puja. Does that make sense? That's all. It regulates. So the point is life is regulated anyway. Why not regulate it in connection with Krishna? You know, because if it's not connection to Krishna, what's the connection to? And what satisfaction does not connecting to the Krishna give us? You know, how much we can be satisfied by doing that. Does that make sense? Yes, no?
Well, the point is that when preaching to the devotees, when devotees are just not feel at all happy when you mention Varnasham, then said, oh, no, we don't just have Hare Krishna, we don't need Varnasham, then I don't have deity.
And then, and then they go home and have sex with their life. Is that chanting Hare Krishna? They go out and drive around their car. Is that chanting Hare Krishna? So how much of the time are they driving to the temple or to a program? is the whole life. They take it. How much are they chanting Hare Krishna? So the point is that you don't regulate all that. How are you going to advance? So they don't even notice that it's not Krishna conscious because there's no regulation. And why is it that, you know, they don't want to hear about Varnashram? Because people have told them that. Otherwise, new devotees are telling about Varnashram. They don't have a problem with it. People who are intelligent don't have a problem with it. People who aren't intelligent might have a problem. I mean, I've had people who work on EU level of administration. And I've been discussing with them elements of Varnashram, how it works, how structures, societies are structured, what each one does and how this one does this and somebody else shouldn't, you know, get in the way of doing that. You know, what is the rights and obligations of each position? Everyone wants their rights. No one wants any obligations. Where does it come in? If you say that, yes, according to Varnashram, you get this right. Everybody's up for it. Yeah, I want that. But if you say now there's an obligation, oh, no, no, we don't, you know, we just chant Hare Krishna. So the point is it's just, it's not that they're situated in Bhagavad Dharma. They're situated in Yavana Dharma. And so Yavana means one who's against the Vedic principles. They don't have to be a meat eater. That's a malecha. So when you say malechas and yavanas, we mean meat eaters and those against the Vedic culture. Most of the time, yavanas are meat eaters. But the point is, you can be a vegetarian or a vegan and still be a yavana. You're opposed to the Vedic version. So that's the whole point is, as devotees, we want to avoid that because it's not, where does the Veda come from? It's Krishna's breathing. We have a problem with Krishna's breathing? You know, he follows the 20th, 64 qualities of Krishna. The 20th quality is he acts according to the Vedic literatures. So Krishna follows it. So if you want to go back to Godhead, they follow the Vedas up there. So, you know. You know, you can say, oh, but in Braj, they're not cowherd boys and cowherd men, right? Krishna doesn't get up in the morning and go out and milk the cows, then come back, take his bath and everything, and then have breakfast with his father and the other relatives, then take the cows out. You know, they followed. Nanda Baba, you know, takes tax to Mathura, and Krishna went along, and then there was the Dhanur Yajna, and then Krishna, you know, went there and killed Kamsa and all that. That was because they were going to go pay their taxes. That's Braj. So the whole point is it's not that following Varnashram is their main point. It gives the background. Otherwise, what's the structure? You know, float around in clouds and all that? You know? So that's the difficulty. So yes, people have their own opinions and all that, and they can have their own opinions. But the problem is that opinions isn't what'll take you back to Godhead. You know? Pleasing Krishna does. Krishna does it. We see in the Krishna book, Krishna, you know, when the Brahma Muhurta comes, he gets up in the morning. And he's getting up. He's got 16,108 wives there. They're all like Lakshmi, and they're all embracing him at the time. It's not that they're off in, the other corner of the bed snoring away. And so, but he gets up anyway, because that's the way it goes. That's how Krishna likes to live. You know, for the wives is that they would, you know, just be with Krishna eternally in that position, but you have the lifestyle. And so that way, then the different points of the day, the different devotees, the different activities to connect to Krishna, everything becomes wonderfully manifest. Like in the morning, then Krishna's with the, you know, cowherd boys, Mother Yashoda and all that. It's their kind of scene. The gopis come and cook, but they're kind of in the background like that. Then Krishna goes out with the cowherd boys. And it's just that, you know, in other words, the mornings with the senior, cowherd, you know, gopas and gopis, you know, Nanda and Yashoda, with some touch, with a little bit of the mix of the cowherd boys and a touch of the gopis. Then he goes out with the young cowherd, you know, with the cowherd boys, the young gopas, and that, and then plays with them. Then he leaves them and then goes with the gopis. Then he comes back with the cowherd boys, and then from the cowherd boys, then he comes to wow, Krik is online.
Hare Krishna
Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Please accept our humble
obeisances. Jai Ho, Jai Ho.
We wanted to ask you one question connected with the discussion in Chaitanya Charitamrita between Tattvavadis and Lord Chaitanya.
There, okay.
There they say, they suggest that the process is Varnashrama for the pleasure of the Lord. And the goal is liberation. And Lord Chaitanya rejects it. So yeah. There was a group of devotees and we were discussing about that. So it looks like that by that process you can get liberation, like Salokya or Samipya, even being an associate of the Lord.
Yes.
But you don't get prema. Yeah. But do you get
prema? Means
that
you can get, that means it depends upon how they're looking at it. If the same means you have the pleasure of the Lord, means nice karma will get you liberation, right? Performing your duties without attachment to the results will get you liberation. But doing things in devotion to please Krishna, that will get you bhakti. So the difficulty here is what they're mentioning. They're only looking at the liberation side, and they're doing their varnashram duties to please Krishna, but because it's more indirect, the more focus will be on the proper performance of their duties. And then ultimately, yes, it does connect to Krishna. And then they're talking about liberation, so that's about the benefit they'll get out about going to the spiritual realm. Because if we're talking about madhuas as such, they want to go to Vaikuntha and serve the Lord, you know, in the Dasya Ras there. But they're interested in the Swarupya. That's the madhva's main thing is that liberation. So it tends to be more about themselves, though it's connected to Krishna. So as the highest principle, it's not. As a bona fide position to follow, yes, but you're not going to get the highest position from that. And as Lord Chaitanya is trying to point out, as Madhvacharya was more about the devotional aspect, that you're doing it to please the Lord. It may be done in majesty, that'll take you to Vaikuntha. And so that liberation will just come on its own. If you have bhakti, liberation you'll get. So it's more pleasing to the Lord. But here, they're just focusing on the liberation aspect. So even though they're devotees, their pure devotion is not actually the focus enough. And so it'll slow down very much their process.
Does it mean, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Does it mean that one can get this position in Vaikuntha or wherever, like living on the same planet, this kind of liberations and being the same form of the Lord without getting prema? Is it two separate things? I know that when you get prema, it means comes
you'll come to the platform of prema, but we're talking about the point is it as pleasing to the Lord as where the focus is on the bhakti? Because they're not talking about developing prema. Though if they associate with these great devotees and all that, once they get past the conditioned state, then by that association, then they can come up to the platform of prema. But it may take so long. You know what I'm saying? And it's, you're not sure about their outcome, exactly how it's going to work. While Lord Chaitanya's, then outcome is very, very clear, very direct. See, because if you're serving Krishna, then you're already on the same planet. You're already an associate. You're already doing all those things. They come along with it. You know, it's just like, let's say I come to your house for lunch. Are you going to serve the lunch on a plate or in a bowl or in a cup? Or it's just going to be the food floating in the air? You know what I'm saying? Yes. So now you see is that you don't have to you don't have to worry about the plate. When you go to the restaurant and ask that, you know, I'll have this preparation, you don't have to ask if they're going to give you a plate with it. So the same way is when you have bhakti, when you're focusing on bhakti, liberation just comes along with it, as Bilba Mangal Thakur. It's just standing at the door waiting to do some service. But we don't ask for that. Like we see Prahlad Maharaj in the seventh canto, the Lord is offering him liberation. He says, no, I just want to serve you. So there's a slight difference in flavor. You know, so yes, they may get to the Vaikuntha and they'll be there, but how close they're going to be, how strong the intense is going to be that devotion. You know? And without that bhakti, it means if they have that understanding of this possession, they'll still get to Dasya Ras. Otherwise, they might only get the Shanta. And in Shanta, generally, then that's the platform of Rati or Bhava, that's their main platform. That's where they generally are focused. So for Lord Chaitanya's, they're not actually understanding the working principle of devotional service, what the Vedas are saying. Yes, it does talk about liberation. That means by performing bhakti, you get liberated, but that's not why we're doing it. You know, by performing your duties without attachment to please Krishna, then yes, liberation comes. That comes with that. And it's just like, let us say we're taking the whole we have from our conditioned state then up to the liberated point, right? You know, the Brahma-Bhuta platform. Then we have from Brahma-Bhuta to Prema, okay? Because you get to the liberated state first, and then from there, then you cultivate and get to the point where you get Prema, right? So now, when we perform the activities of Naishkarmya, means performing our duties without attachment, that purifies us and brings us towards liberation. But it doesn't do anything on the bhakti side, right? But we do things to please Krishna. It develops on the bhakti side. And it's the bhakti side that'll give you prema. The other is that the advantage of purification is that there's no obstacles bothering you so that you just are engaged in pure devotion, right? So devotees, they focus on the bhakti, but they don't have a problem in performing their duties in varnashram and that without attachment. That they just do anyway. They're doing it to please Krishna. Right? But the point is the focus is on the bhakti part, not on the naishkarmya and liberation part. Because even they do, that'll get them up to that neutral point. They still then have to get from that up to prema. But if they're not focusing on that part, then that'll be slower. So for Lord Chaitanya, is focus on this part, and this part you just do as a matter of course. You know, it's just like if you're brushing your teeth, do you hold, let's say, when we're brushing our teeth, now they'll talk about, you know, if you're doing it in up and down, or you're doing it circles, or, you know, they got all kinds of different of it. But does that mean you were not holding the toothbrush? Right? Of course we're holding the toothbrush. Can you still hear me, or because people have frozen?
Yes, Maharaj, we can hear you.
Okay. So the point is we focus on how you use the tips of the toothbrush, not on holding the handle. But so Lord Chaitanya is saying, focus on how you're using it. Don't focus. They're saying, no. You hold the handle like this and do this and then, you know, like this. So that's the thing, is they're talking about just the secondary aspects that get you liberation, you know, but in context of Krishna. But we're talking about pure devotion, that it's about that cultivating that relationship with Krishna. So if they follow our path, even they want to go to Vaikuntha and not Goloka, they'll get there quicker by following us than they will by following what they do. It means the attitude. Does that make some sense, or are they frozen in time and space?
Yes, it makes sense, Maharaj. I think Sudama Viprabhu, maybe the internet went out, but they dropped out for a moment.
Aha.
Shall we move to the next question, Maharaj?
Yes, please. Why not?
Gabir Prabhu?
Frozen in the time-space continuum, then we'll move on.
Gabir Prabhu, are you there? Please go ahead. Okay, we can't hear you. I don't know if you're speaking at the moment. Your microphone is on. Ah, okay. Seems like his microphone's not working.
The transcendental symptoms of choking of the voice, and so he can't speak. And stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, I'll read his question, Maharaj, to you.
Aha, okay.
There are 400,000 human species in the creation. I was told right. that all these species are not about the color of the skin or how the specific body looks like, but about the culture, about the level of civilization. So there are only two human species on our planet, the devotee and non-devotee culture species, question mark.
I would say there's beyond that because, you know, rakshas, rakshasas, you know, gandharvas, kanaras, all these kimpurushas, all these, they're all within the human species. So the point is they will have a particular mentality and they will have a particular culture, but it's not that they also don't have the particular bodily features. But you can have a mentality of one of these without having that body. That's the point about the human form. Is that means this particular that we have on Bharata Varsha Bharata Khanda is that within that you can have a mentality of a rakshasa or a yaksha or a naga or this or that or even a dog or a cat. So you can have all the mentality, but it does have a specific form. But by consciousness, that's then, you know, that's how you change, you know, from one to the other. So from this position, then you can get any of those other 400,000. But otherwise here, you know, they're different natures. So you just count this, you know, so by that, you see is what natures match. So there's fundamental natures you're looking for. One is the main is the devotional nature. So the devotees, non-devotees, that's there. But if you did that, yes, but that's the whole universe, the asuras and the suras. For the devas and the asuras, that's the whole universe. You know, so by that, yes, you do have these two, the divine and demoniac. But when we're talking, that's not the 8,400,000 list. That's just what's divine and what's demoniac. And so then within the human species, you have so many, but it doesn't matter. So that devotional is the main thing. And then you see what's the nature by, you know, what's the position in varna and ashrama. You know, if you're talking about marriage and stuff. So then you want to just see that there's a match, you know, so intellectuals will be together with intellectuals, administrators with that, but, you know, business with business, arts with arts, like that. And so then you just see that they're nicely matched. So you don't have to worry as much about the other aspects of the species as much as that. But yeah, they're all different. So you want to know if Hungarians are their own species, or at least those from Transylvania, are they their own species? Are they one of the 400,000, those from Transylvania? No? Getting no joy out of that one.
I'm just seeing if he's responding by chat, maybe. No, it doesn't seem to be. So we have another
moving
question.
Moving on.
Yeah. this is from Markandeya Rishi Prabhu, who's also, his mic's not working properly. If I understood correctly, functioning exclusively on the Bhagavat platform is valid only for the liberated souls.
Yes. But the point is that we see that when those liberated souls come here, they always take up the culture of the Madhyama Adhikari. They always take up the preaching platform. So then they'll follow the, you know, whatever the Pancharatrik and Vedic rules that apply to that platform. The Goswamis are, but then they sit here. But you see is they'll lean more towards just their sadhana, just hearing and chanting and that. So they're under a different tree or this or that and all that. That's why they don't have to follow Vastu, because you don't have to worry about moving from this tree to that tree. You just walk, you know. Oh, when do we do Griha Pravesh? They don't have to do that. They just move to the next tree, you know. So the principle is to function just on that platform. then only the liberated souls can do that. But it doesn't mean that we can't have that as a central feature of our life, is that chanting of the holy name is the main feature. But it, but all the other aspects of our conditioning that we need to address, that we're going to use the Pancharatrika or the Vedic to give that support to connect it to Krishna. Yes, no, very good.
Yes, thank you. Yes, Markandeya Rishi Prabhu says yes.
Thank you. Okay.
And Gabir Prabhu also says thank you, dear Maharaj.
Okay. Means thank you for understanding that Transylvanians are one of the 400,000 for that answer, or okay. And they're headed by, and the what do you call it? What's that? What's the I can't remember. But you know, it's just like Kuvera is the head of the Yakshas, you know, like that. And so, you know, so then the head of the Transylvaniates is Vlad. He's the, you know, main head. Yes. Okay, next question.
Okay. Markandeya Rishi Prabhu says, does chanting our prescribed 16 rounds fall into the category of Pancharatra or Bhagavat?
Chanting is Bhagavat. That is 16 rounds. That'll be your Pancharatra that you're regulating. Because the point is why 16? It's minimum 16. Bhagavat means you'll always chant. 24 hours you'll chant. You know, it's just like that. That story where I don't remember Krishna, who it was, maybe it was Krishna and Uddhava or something. They went to where Arjuna was sleeping and his hair was chanting while he was asleep. You know, they could hear, they could hear from his hair the chanting going on. So the point is that it's a punch, it means that it has the rule. In other words, that we use beads that go from, you know, big to small, shaped like a snake, and there's 108, and that you have, then the Krishna bead or the Meru bead, and it's tied, and you don't, when you chant, you go around and then you come back, you don't cross. Now these are all within the Bhagavad, but they're regulated like that. These are the Pancharatric things. So these are all be mentioned somewhere in the texts like that. Hari Bhakti Vilasa will then, that's the thing, is it establishes all these activities that we do from Shastra. So it's not speculative. You know, that you use a bag, it's always covered and this and that. These kind of things, then these are Pancharatric regulations. But the point is Pancharatra is a kayana. It's directed at the Lord exclusively. No demigods, nobody else. So that's what makes Pancharatra as a worship system then very special, because it's just about Vishnu. Mm. Like that. Well, other systems may include all kinds of demigods, this, that, and everybody else.
Yeah, Prabhu says thank you. And yes. We have an extra comment from Gabir Prabhu. He says, okay. One of the reasons I asked it, that here in Hungary, there is a big hatred towards other species, gypsies, other nations, etc. And I always tell to this kind of haters that Hungarians and gypsies are non-different species. They belong to the same Yavana Malecha species.
Could be. I mean, it's just like gypsies, I'm not exactly sure, but yeah, they're one of those. But then when you have the Hunas, then that's also, it means that, you know, the Mongols, they come in and like that. You know, wherever they go, they just wipe everything out and have sex with whatever's left and, you know, like that. And then, you know, Haribol. So, yeah, it's a good answer. Because the point is there's just the suras and asuras. So there's, are they devotional or not? The point is that every living entity is by nature servant of Krishna. So that's what the universe is for. Krishna's made the creation just so that we can be in contact, you know, with Krishna and come back and go back to Godhead. You know, since the living entities are from the spiritual platform, being not on the spiritual platform is not their nature. You know, like fish belong in water. So the soul belongs on the spiritual platform. So being on this material platform is not natural for them. So the material world is created to bring them back to Godhead. But at the same time is that while they're here, they've come here to taste material pleasure. So then Krishna gives them this 8,400,000, because that's basically, you mathematically, you know, all the different varieties of pleasure that you could get, you know, and it's getting pretty fine. You know, it's like you have a heron that's white. You have a heron that's like kind of, you know, that pheasant color. You have a heron that's red. They're the same bird, but there's a slight difference in taste between these three. So the 8,400,000 is pretty refined on the varieties of the little bit of taste. And so basically that's the maximum that you need to get into. And by that, then one can, having gone through all that, then one starts to understand that, well, there's something lacking here in the material world. You know, you tried everything and nothing's giving you any satisfaction. So there must be something more. Then we come in contact with devotees who explain to us about the soul and that and spiritual life. Then we understand, yes, that's the problem. We've been trying to engage the senses in the sense objects of this world instead of engaging the senses in the service of the Lord of the senses, Hrishikesh. And so then, so since that's the focus and that's what it's for, then it comes down to who's a devotee and who's not. So it doesn't matter what color they are, you know, what background they are.
He
you know, it's like, what do you call it?
Sorry,
yeah, it means the gypsies, they'll steal everything from you, but generally their girls are pretty chaste. While the Hungarians, they generally won't steal anything from you, but their girls are not necessarily chaste. So, you know, six and one half dozen another, you know, it means it's kind of like take your pick which one annoys you.
He says, thank you, dear Maharaj, it's clear now.
Okay. But the angle of going in from Asura and Asura, that's a very good angle. Just take them off. In other words, they're going to fight over this, take it to another one. Because higher than that is the consciousness. Because you see, Bali Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, they're demons. So that's a species that they're in. You know, the species that they're there, the daityas and that, they're species, but they're devotees. You know, and then you have in the fifth canto, you have the what do you call those things? The I think Kimpurushas. And that, you know, they're like human bodies with animal heads. And they live in the forest. And so they all worship the Lord. They all worship Vishnu, but they say because we're forest people, we're a bit unsophisticated in our lifestyle. We don't have the same life sophistication lifestyle as the city folk do, you know, or the those who are more involved properly in Varnashram. So, but you see, whatever the species, that's, you always have these verses that everybody in the universe is attracted to Vishnu. So that's the point, is if someone's a devotee, that's great. And if they're not a devotee, it's a problem. It doesn't matter what species they are. You know, you can always refer them to Michael Jackson's song if you need to. If you need Shastric backup.
Okay, I have a question from Shamsundri. They're at the moment traveling in a car, so she won't get to ask herself. How can developing us, if we can preach just a few type of people, devotees?
The point is that whatever you're comfortable doing means the mission is if you can help one person become Krishna conscious and go back to Godhead, then that's a success. So it's not necessarily volume that's important. It means those who can preach volume, they should preach in volume. Those who can only preach to a few people, they preach to a few. So it doesn't matter. Whatever individuals you feel comfortable helping in Krishna consciousness, you help them. So it might be a lot of people, it might be a few people. And if nothing else, in the morning you get up, go into the bathroom, then there's that kind of shiny kind of thing on the other side of the sink. You know, there's kind of like this, it's kind of like the wall, but it's kind of a shiny wall and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It reflects things and all that. So then if you look in that mirror, you'll see a person standing there. right? Preach to them, if nothing else.
She said, okay.
Okay, very good.
And then Gogadadha Prabhu, he had a quick one. Got a few minutes, okay. More minutes left. Gogadadha Prabhu?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, you mentioned in answer to my question that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a manual, some kind of manual for deity worship. Can you just give what is the reference for it?
The reference for it.
But which book is this?
It's its own book. Let me see. Ooh.
You can for tomorrow, no problem. If it...
It's called Samkshepa Archan Padati. But you may or may not understand it when you see it. Like that. But we can try to, we can discuss what the possibility of.
Thank you.
I mean, we can discuss it tomorrow because I have, you know, what we put together so you can work on it. And we can just go through what's there and everything. And, that can be tomorrow's discussion.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
I think that would be very nice. So
okay.
We've kind of come to the end of the session for today. I think we should end.
Yes, here. Yes. Okay.
But same time again tomorrow.
Same place, same time. Same station.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for today's session.
Okay.
So I hope you get to put a Maharaj key. Jai.
I hope. Haribo. Haribo.
Thank you.